a brand new concert series got started this year. It's called a Burg Song. It's in Pittsburgh, B-U-R-G-H-S-O-N-G, Burg Song. Alexander Stanton is the founder, and he is going to be the Pittsburgh-based performer that will be on the bill tonight. And the concert series combines a songwriter from Pittsburgh with a songwriter from another city in shows on a regular basis. They take place at the Sunburst School of Music in Squirrel Hill. And playing on the bill with Alexander Stanton tonight is Nashville's Robbie Hecht. We'll talk with Robbie a little bit more coming up, but we're going to get him started. Here's Robbie Hecht. Pretty song. How old is that song?
How old is that song?
Yeah, when did you write it?
Man, that one's, you know, I don't know. I wrote it along a really long period of time. I started it in 2005, I think, which is strangely a long time ago. And I recorded it in 2011, and then I released it a month ago. So it's been on a long journey.
Yeah, I don't remember that song, which is one reason I asked. And it's I like the metaphor, and it just comes together really nicely.
Yeah, it's a little science class shout out.
So you're in, that was Robbie Hecht, by the way, and I just posted on Facebook details about his website as well as tonight's performance at Burg Song and a link to ticket information. So if you go to our Facebook page, and you can also go to our website, you'll find details on that. Robbie's from Nashville, and I'm trying to remember, Robbie was here before, but I can barely remember, and you may be hearing him for the first time. Where were you raised? Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, and then now I live in Nashville. So it's only about 3 hours down the road. And I went to Wisconsin for college, and then I moved out to California for a little bit, and then kind of circled back to Tennessee. So,
what was California like for you?
Oh, I don't know. I was in San Francisco for about a year and a half, and it was just a beautiful place to live with beautiful people, and I just didn't have a place there. There wasn't the songwriting community there that, I mean, and it was great. There was great music there, but it wasn't what Nashville had for me, which is the best songwriters in the world, kind of all in one little medium-sized town. So,
yeah, and I have not been to California, and people I know who have ventured there who are from the Midwest or from just, we'll say, the eastern part of the country. I know sometimes, I don't know if out of place is quite the right word, but just aren't quite calibrated, maybe is the better way to put it, aren't quite tuned for California.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, San Francisco is really different from that Southern California thing where it's kind of that laid-back, sun-drenched, weather's always nice thing. San Francisco's always cold, so, you know, it's always not quite nice enough. But, I mean, just the attitude there is really nice and kind of educated, and it's looking weird was much more normal. So, you know, somebody who would stand out in Tennessee as having green hair and their lots of piercings wouldn't even give them a second look in San Francisco. And that was kind of cool to have that, just people's differences become normalized for me. And then, you know, I come back and I just felt like, I don't know, I felt like it was a really good experience for me to go out there, but it's really expensive.
Yeah, that I've heard that from lots and lots of folks. It's all relative, but
yeah.
it's right. Expensive to, my wife, Ricky, lived there for a short period in Sausalito.
Yeah.
And my brother went to Venice Beach for a while and as a musician and then came back. About a year later, saying, I think Chicago is more for me than Venice Beach. And you were at Wisconsin. What did you study there?
English and history.
Ah, good for a songwriter.
Yeah, UW-Madison.
And it's good to have. Do you have any special connection to Pittsburgh at all? You've been up here a couple times this year.
No, I guess not. My friend Ben Shannon lives here, and he's done a couple shows with me, including this one, and my friend Brad Yoder lives here too, and I came up and played a show with him a while back, probably, I don't know, 5 years ago or something.
Yeah, they're both great people, great songwriters in their own right too.
Yeah, but that's it. I mean, I was a big Steelers fan when I was a kid, but, you know, I became a Packers fan when I went to Wisconsin. And, you know, that's how I like to do it. We didn't have a professional team when I was growing up in Tennessee, so I get to like whoever I want to like.
If you're just joining us, Robbie Hecht is here with us from Nashville. He'll be part of the Bergsong series tonight, which combines solo performances by an artist who is based in Pittsburgh and then one who is based in another city, both songwriters. And tonight's other performer is actually the founder of the venue, I should say. I think I said founder of the series before. Alexander Stanton is the founder of the Sunburst School of Music, where it's held. And Ben Shannon is really he would not like me saying this maybe, but is the principal architect. I think it was Ben's idea to do this. To get that exactly right. Ben's a good guy. Does so many great things with music as well as kids. What would you like to play next?
I think what I'm going to do is just play all five songs that are on my new acoustic EP, and then if we have time for other stuff, I can play other stuff. But I'm just going to start at the top and work my way through.
I think that's great. And this will be available tonight, this EP, or online?
It's only digital right now. So it's available on iTunes, and it's on Spotify and all that stuff. But I kind of rushed it out, and I wanted to have it out for the autumn. And I'd been meaning to do that for about 4 years since I recorded it in 2011. I would always forget until it was always already the fall, and then I'd be like, oh, too late. So this year I remembered somehow over the summer and actually rolled it out, but I didn't print any out. So eventually I'll print them out and do a whole nother printout release thing. But for now, it's only digital.
Well, you can look for that at iTunes and any other locations, Amazon or anywhere.
Yeah, it's all over the internet.
All the usual places, yeah. Preferably the sites where you buy them support your songwriter. Here again is Robbie Hecht.
This is called Sugarland Mountain.
Once I had a pretty little angel, and she would blindly follow me way up high on Sugarland Mountain, where I'd tell her all that I could see. Her mother left when she was 11, said there was nothing in this town, and I tried to hold on tight to something while that girl tried on that woman's gown. And Lord help me, show her the dark from the day. Lord, if I let go my little world, I know she will wander away. She was back in her bedroom.
Robbie Hecht at the Saturday Light Brigade. Another great song from his EP, now available at iTunes and Amazon and other fine places where music is downloaded, as they say. It's kind of amazing the way music is delivered these days. I was talking, I think, to Chad, who's mixing you today. We were getting new music in here, and these days we prefer to get music delivered digitally to us as
great.
Well. And I was sort of lamenting that one of the services we like – there's a point here, I promise. I was sort of lamenting that one of the services we like requires downloading each track that you want rather than the entire album at once, because it's a little tedious to do so. And given my attention span, I sometimes forget which ones I've clicked on and which ones I haven't. And, it, you know, I commented that the service must be doing this because they assume a lot of people only want, most radio stations only want, you know, the killer track or the tracks that fit the format. And I said, well, I'm not going to buy a book and rip out the pages I don't like. Or
Chapter 7 you know, is the best.
Yeah. But then it got me to thinking, and this is now the point, you know, as an artist and a songwriter, I mean, indeed, there's individual songs that you craft, but, you know, I gather you probably put some thought into which songs you wanted on the EP and the order that they're in, or isn't that as important anymore?
I mean, you put lots of thought into everything, but I put a lot of thought into the sequence of the songs. I do a lot of, I'll drive around and listen to them and just move them around and see what feels right. I mean, I think my last album I did at least 50 different versions of the sequence of the songs and eventually settled on something. There's so many things to think about when you're doing it, but I mean, at the same time, you know, when I play a show, I'm not just, well, except for right now, I'm not usually just playing straight through any one album. So the songs definitely stand on their own, too.
Yeah, and that's a little different in a show because, you know, you've got the added – in fact, it's even a little more special because the order you're playing, you might have a set list, but it's also, I'm sure, going to change a little bit based on the audience and the response. But there's still a purpose to it. And with an album, the other thing – that's incredible. I still, when I hear songs from albums, I'll use the Beatles as an example. If I hear a Beatles song, I'm expecting to hear the one that came after it on the original album.
Right.
You know, I know immediately, and I'm just like, how do I know that? Why do I? It's because I've listened to the album over and over again.
Yeah.
It has got to be. It's great to have you up here in Pittsburgh. I'm curious What is it like when you're in this kind of series? Will you be playing – do you each have your own set or are you one off of each other?
I think we each have a 45- or 50-minute set or something like that. I think I'm playing second. I'm not totally sure. But, yeah, we each have our own little show. So, you know, we each have like a half of a full show basically.
Yeah, it's a great idea that Ben had to try to – not only feature local folks in a great setting, but to bring people in as well. What is the – in Nashville now, a city I haven't been to, but I've got to believe that I'm trying to think of the best way to ask this question. Nashville's full of singers and songwriters.
Yes, it is.
And I guess I'm wondering how you establish an audience in Nashville because it's a little bit of a smaller city too.
Well, I mean, the longer you stay there, it's like any place. You meet lots of people. You meet people who are in music and who aren't in music. And there's definitely a community of singer-songwriters who go to each other's shows too, you know, fill up space or because you want to. One of those two. There's always issues with draw in Nashville because there's always so much stuff going on at the same time. And it's kind of become a joke that everybody goes to so many shows that if it rains, it's like that's when everyone decides, oh, there's too much rain. I'm going to stay home and do my thing at home because you always have so many obligations. That's like any excuse to not go out, you know. I don't know. I mean, you meet people and you go out and you make fans like anywhere else and you play your shows. It's hard to build a local paid draw in Nashville the same way it is a lot of places, because so many people are playing for free. It's like with music downloads.
Yeah, and you know, that's a rough way of life for musicians. And mm-hmm. I'm kind of glad you brought it up, because it's worth talking about. We can't pay you, but you'll get the exposure. Right. And, you know, a lot of people will get to know who you are, and it'll be really great publicity. And, you know, imagine saying that to the people that are going to clean your venue. You know, we can't pay you, but, you know, people are going to really talk about how clean the stage is and how great it is. So, you know, more people will hire you.
Yeah, there's you get more free jobs.
Yeah, there's no other... there's really no other industry that
I guess there's not
subjects itself. There might be a
journalism
few,
is the only other one.
And actually, it can happen in broadcasting too.
Mm, right.
As you said, journalism or regular writing, I guess, mm-hmm. too. And I think a lot of musicians are beginning to, I wouldn't call it a backlash altogether, but are just trying to encourage other musicians to show maybe a bit more self-respect and a bit more mm-hmm. restraint and choosing to play those totally free gigs.
Yeah, it's the live and it's the selling, and you just have to decide what's worth it and what's not, you know. Kind of just open your mind back up to a brand new world of what's acceptable to you, you know, as an artist. And let, you know, I mean, I use Spotify as a consumer all the time, so I can't say that there's anything wrong with it for my own music. I have to accept it as reality, and there's certain ways to use it that are beneficial. I just found out that one of my songs from the EP that I did hardly any promotion on is like, I don't know, a big playlist on Spotify. So now I'm getting, you know, 1,000 listens a day, which it's got to be worth something.
Yeah, and I don't know enough about, from the artist's perspective, does that result in remuneration to you at all?
A little bit. I mean, it's. I did the math one time. It changes, but the one time I kind of looked at it, it was half a cent per song. So it doesn't add up to a ton. Yeah. But I mean, when you think about it, it's one person listening one time. I mean, what is that worth? It depends on whether you think about it as a substitute for radio or a substitute for sales, because mm-hmm. it changes your perspective.
Yeah, it's interesting. But at least there's some effort at equity, because you would hope that across...
Yeah, they should be paying more, but, you know, that's the thing that needs to change. I don't think the model needs to change as much as just the compensation, you know. I mean, it's not... I think once people are streaming music, it's going to... It makes it more difficult to have your library of CDs up against the wall in your house and be all proud of it, because it's just not, you know, it's just not a thing anymore.
Yeah, it's a really interesting, we live in interesting times. I guess we always do, but in this particular area, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
To see how it changes. Robbie Hecht is the voice you were hearing talking just now, and Robbie is from Nashville. Raised in Knoxville, or from Knoxville originally. Then he is here tonight for the Birdsong Concert Series, which is at the Sunburst School of Music in Squirrel Hill. Alexander Stanton, a local singer-songwriter, will play. Robbie will have a set as well. We've linked to the Birdsong Series as well as to Robbie's website from our website at slbradio.org, as well as our Facebook page. Robbie sharing some songs from his brand new five-song EP. And I think the third song is the one. Am I keeping count right?
Yeah, well, this is going to be the third one. The EP is called Evergreen. This song is going to be called One Part Roses.
Part roses, two parts hail. My love's a boat without a sail. My love's a boat without a sail. One part roses, two parts hail. And one part whiskey, two parts rain. My love's love's a beggar, gone insane. My love's a beggar, gone insane. One part whiskey, two parts rain. And one part roses, two parts hail. My love's a boat without a sail. My love's a boat without a sail. Part tiger, two parts poo. My love's a bear and tiger too. My love's a bear and tiger too. My love don't got a thing to do. And one part winter, two parts spring. My love's in love with everything. My love's in love with everything. She don't need no cause to sing. And one part roses, two parts hail. My
what a pretty song. That's
left a verse out of that one, so you'll have to get the EP to hear the part I forgot.
It's what a nice song. Did that one come out of you pretty quickly?
Oh man, no. It sounds like it did, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's a compliment. I mean,
thanks.
It's because it's a really tight song.
I started that one in college. I went to school from 97 to 2001, and I don't remember when I started that. Probably in 2000 or something. But yeah, I started that one in college, and then finished it somewhere in the mid 2000s. I don't know. I found it in an old journal and finished it. You know, it was one of those things. It was lost for a long time.
Do you start with lyrics typically?
That one I did. I remember writing the words. I was listening to a lot of Tom Waits. I don't know how that would have inspired that song at all, but for some reason I have that memory. Sitting in Library Mall writing that at the University of Wisconsin. But yeah, that one did. And then the music's real simple in that one. I mean, I kind of just roll through a very natural progression of chords.
Yeah, that one made me long for talking about albums and things. Of just listening and really kind of reading and studying and appreciating the writing within the lyrics, because that's just it's a great song. It's a nice imagery for an original take too on everything. So.
Thanks.
Hard for me to put it into words. But, do you travel much? Are you on the road much these days? Or
I am. I'm on the road less than I had been. I've been focusing on writing more, a lot of co-writing. So, you know, some stuff for myself, some stuff. I have a lot of songs that I've written where it's kind of for two people to sing and I can't decide what to do with it. You know, the whoever I wrote it with and I are both like, we should release this sometime, and then you don't. But hopefully we will. And then, yeah, just writing with people for their records or for my records. I'm in love with writing right now, so I've been enjoying that more than driving around, although I still like playing shows and touring, just maybe not all the time.
Yeah, you can make changes and adjust whatever you care to. Do you have a longer album planned? Are you hoping to...
Yes, I have a lot of songs and I can't decide what to do with them. So I can't decide whether to make another folk record like the EP or something a little bit more poppy, or, you know, I just can't decide. At some point I'm going to have to decide what to do, but for right now I'm just going to stay in limbo and keep writing.
Yeah, you can do both. You can have two. No, it is tough.
Yeah, financially, if I had $1 million, I would make all the records, you know.
Mm-hmm. Every single one of them. And no, it is hard because you feel like once you make that choice, you're committed to it.
Especially if you do a crowdsourcing thing, you know, if you do a Kickstarter or a Pledge Music, or, you know, you have to be able to tell people what you're going to be making with their money.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point you have to make a choice.
Have you considered doing it, or have you done it?
I did it once. I did it for my last full-length album, and it went well. And we were sort of in the middle of recording it when I did the fundraiser. So, you know, hoping that we got the money to do it.
I suppose that adds a certain kind of pressure, right?
It does. And that's there's the difference between the – I don't know if we need to get into it, but there's the different models. And some of them you get the money no matter what, and some of them you don't. And so that adds a little bit of pressure to you doing the campaign, and it adds a sense of urgency for people to feel like, you know, they're helping you do something. And it actually, honestly, it makes more sense if you really know what you need to do. It's like you're running a business and you go to the investors and you say, this is how much money I need to do this. If I don't get that much money, I can't do it.
Yeah. You know? although, yeah, there are different models and different circumstances. There's so many of them now, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing. But no, if people like your music and like trust you and your artistic judgment, that's the hope that, hey, this guy's going to put out a 12-song CD. I love him. I love his music. I know I'm going to like it regardless. I trust him. I'll kick in $20 knowing that I'll get a copy of it or whatever the nominal rate is. That's not a bad way to go.
No, and you can sell it before it exists so that it doesn't – it can't be stolen if it doesn't exist yet.
Right.
that's the other reason it works, I think.
That's actually an interesting observation too. Music, those pipelines have not shut down whatsoever. Mm. It's I don't know if it's ever possible to clamp down on music being traded free of charge. You just have to try to honor the musicians.
Somebody still has to make it, you know. Yeah. If there's no incentive at all, it's not going to be as good, I guess.
Yeah. Robbie Hecht is here, and again, tonight, Sunburst School of Music in Squirrel Hill, opening Alexander Stanton, who is the founder of Sunburst School of Music, and it's part of the Berg Song concert series. We've linked to all of those things, Berg Song and Robbie Hecht, from our website, slbradio.org, and also from our Facebook page at SLB Radio. What would you like to do next, Steve?
I'm going to do track 4.
Track 4, if you're visualizing the track numbers on this EP.
It's a little love song. It's called When I Found You.
I was free then. Found you, and I conceded the life I knew. Oh, and I found you. Oh, and I found you. I was lost, but now I'm found. Nobody try to hold me down. Oh, and I found you. Oh, and I found you. And when I found you, I was a ship upon the seashore, a poet on the dance floor. Ship upon the seashore, a poet on the dance floor, and I found you. And when I found you, I had buckets full of fool's gold and pockets full of black holes. When I found you, I was free.
Robbie Hecht here at the Saturday Light Brigade, live in studio. Fine writer as well as musician. It's really really great to listen to these songs carefully. They're all crafted so well. Do you do any other kinds of writing at all? If you fiction or poetry? Well, songs are poetry in
not
a way.
Really. But I've always thought that would be fun, but then I channel it into a song. You know, whatever idea it is, oh, that would be a great, nope, there's a song.
You know? Do you know the late folk singer and songwriter Bill Morrissey?
I'm a little familiar.
He wrote a great book called Edson.
Yeah.
And here's this guy who died way too young. He had a really deep voice and did a lot of, did some performing with Greg Brown. But this book that he wrote, it's just an amazing novel. It's you think the two are mutually exclusive. You're a songwriter, you're a novelist. It's just a fantastic.
Nice. I have a couple friends who do short stories. My friend Corby Lenker and my friend David Berkeley both have, they're both doing album/book releases. Right now, and that seems really cool. You know, I'm a little jealous, but I don't.
That are integrating the two forms.
They
the
are
one.
So well, a little bit. I know David Berkeley has his songs and stories kind of go together a little bit, and then I think maybe Corby's are a little bit more separate than David's are. But it's really cool to see, and you know, I hear them do readings or read the books, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's better than I would do if I tried to do that. So I've
you never know.
Stuck to songs for now.
you never know. I'm going to take you into a different direction just for a second. When roughly what age were you when you first picked up an instrument?
You know, I took guitar lessons when I was in the fifth grade and quit, and I took them in the eighth grade and quit, and then when I was 18, I picked it back up again, and
that's when it stuck.
Wanted to do it for real. Yeah.
Okay, so just, in college.
Yeah, drew on the four chords that I'd learned the previous two failed attempts at learning the instrument. And just, I, for some reason, when I was 18, I just decided this is what I wanted to do. And I just taught myself how to play.
Did you have a musical family at all?
My dad plays mandolin. He used to play mandolin a lot when we were kids. He mostly played the same three or four songs. But
what were they?
He played Will the Circle Be Unbroken, and he played Jambalaya. I don't remember what else. There were a couple more.
No, I'm not trying to tax you.
Washerwoman, is that a song?
It's just interesting to think about. all right, so I'm picturing life. Knoxville was probably a little more rural than it is now, a little bit.
It was, yeah. It's actually come up a little bit as a city and gotten more interesting.
Yeah, I was in Knoxville. I was maybe 10, and this would have been the 70s. And the reason I was in Knoxville was my parents. Now, these are way more common now than they used to be. My parents, you know, got one of these free 3-day vacations in Knoxville to hear the sales pitch to live in what essentially was a mobile home community somewhere in Knoxville that was being set up. But I can remember that quite. And I remember my dad and mom and me and my brothers basically concluding, it'd be really nice to live here in Knoxville, but not here, you know, not in this place that they happen to want us to be in right now. And my dad, I don't know who you know, for that kind of pitch, who actually sides on the dotted line that day? People must, because they wouldn't continue them. But I mean, my dad was just like the most stoic, like, nope, you know, not going to do it. You know, nothing's going to happen. But I bet Knoxville's changed a lot.
Yeah, they revitalized downtown maybe a decade ago or something. So it's much more interesting and fun to be downtown, and they have a great radio station called WDVX that started out in a trailer when I was a kid, and now they've got a station in the visitor center, and they do a lot of live stuff.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, they have every 6 days a week, I guess, they do live shows at lunch. It's really cool, and they get some really good acts through there.
That's really good to hear. It's a pretty part of the country too.
Yeah, it's really gorgeous.
It's Robbie Hecht is here. Not it's, but he is Robbie Hecht. And again, tonight, part of the Bergsong concert series, he will be performing at Sunburst School of Music, the home of the series in Squirrel Hill, along with Sunburst's own Alexander Stanton. Information available via our website and Facebook page, or just Google Robbie Hecht or Bergsong series. You'll be able to find information there. It's bergsong.com is the website. And I think you're simply robbiehecht.com.
Yeah, Robbie with a Y.
Robbie with a Y. Important. I know you've got one more from the EP, and that's probably about all we're going to
have
time for, so it's a perfect ending. Let me just thank you for being here. Is there anything you might have wanted to say that I didn't get a chance to ask you?
I don't know. Oh, it's great to be in Pittsburgh.
Perfect. You want to go back on the Packers statement earlier? Or you're still gonna.
I can't.
Okay.
It was a different world. It was the Hines Ward era.
Okay. Well, you should still see him anyway.
I'm more into, you know, the fantasy has ruined football for me now anyway, so it doesn't matter who I'm rooting for.
Thank you for being with us, Robbie.
For having me.
What's the song called?
This is called Your Favorite Chair. We're taking back the winter. I'm giving you my hand. I'm giving up my solitude. I swear that I'm not scared. I'm by your window, laughing at all the sea out there. I'm by your window at home in your favorite chair. Running for the leaf piles. We started far too fast, but now we turn the pages slow to make the story last. I'm by your window, laughing at all the scenes out there. I'm by your favorite chair. Oh Lord, can you give us just a small chance? I know you could give us just a small chance, 'cause now it's obvious to see it. To me, it's obvious to see it. We were like two dancers, afraid of getting old. But now we're happy sitting here, watching it unfold. I'm by your window, laughing at all the scenes out there. I'm by your window at home, in your favorite chair. Oh Lord, can you give us just a small chance? I know you could give us just a small chance, 'cause now it's obvious to see it. To me, it's obvious to see it. And they say snow is coming, and that's a guarantee. Well, if we ever see it fall, then we will believe. I'm by your window, laughing at all the scenes out there.
hiding by your window at home in your favorite chair. Hiding by your window at home in your favorite chair.